There were four of us. Me, your big feet, and you. From your ankle up, I'll say you sure are sweet. From that down, there's too much feet. Yes, your feet's too big. Don't want you cause your feet's too big. Can't use you cause your feet's too big. I really hate you cause your feet's too big. Yeah.
Well, I quit my job down at the car wash, left my mama a goodbye note. By sundown, I left Kingston with my guitar up under my coat. I hitchhiked all the way down to Memphis, got a room at the YMCA. For the next 3 weeks, I went a-haunting them nightclubs looking for a place to play. Well, I thought my picking would set them on fire, but nobody wanted to hire a guitar man. Well, I nearly about starved to death down in Memphis. I run out of money and luck, so I bummed me a ride down to Macon, Georgia, on an overloaded poultry truck. I thumbed on down to Panama City, started checking out some of them all-night bars, hoping I could make myself a dollar making music on my guitar. Got the same old story, them all-night peers. There ain't no room around here for a guitar man, but don't need a guitar man, son. So I slipped in hobo jungles, bombed 1,000 miles of track, till I found myself in Mobile, Alabama, at a club they call Big Jack's. A little four-piece band was jamming, so I took my guitar and I set in. I showed them what a band would sound like with a swinging little guitar man. Show 'em, son.
Yeah. 8:19, hot and cold Saturday morning. Jerry Reed. Man, I tell you what, he was the best right there. Anyway, so let's get back to this whole insulation thing. There's a transition, right? It doesn't take long to do this, and we have the luxury of getting online, and we can shop prices. So don't hold these hard and fast numbers, because you know there might be one size of insulation that is a little bit less expensive per our value, but different, a company, one place might be cheaper than the other for the same thing. But this at least gives you a tool. It's easy to do. Have a calculator. It just makes it fast. So, again, just to recap. Let's say we're talking about a bundle of insulation. It is $50 for the bundle of insulation. It's going to tell you how many square feet is in that bundle. Let's say it's 50 square feet. We'll make it simple. So it's $50 for 50 square feet. We divide 50 into 50. In this case, we're dividing the square footage into the dollar. The dollar amount, the cost, is always on top, and we divide into that. So we got $1. But the R value is 20. So we had 50 square feet at R20 for $50. So we divide the two. We get one. And then we divide that by the R value, which in this case is 20, and we get 5 cents per R value per square foot. So we have a relative number. We can compare apples and apples here. So I'm just going to go down the list, and this is not an absolute list because, again, I didn't look at every vendor. I didn't waste that much time. And, you know, if there's a company you want to deal with, you call and get the prices, and then you can do the math. So the Timber HP, as I said, we got the quote from Weir Butler, was 7.8 cents per R value per square foot. I checked on polyiso foam, the foil-faced yellow foam. It's called polyiso cyanurate, or polyiso for short. That comes out at 13.4 cents. Now, this is R value per square foot. Now, there are different animals. A piece of plastic foam is not as air permeable as a fluffy insulation like fiberglass or cellulose or even wood fiber. But so that's a little bit of a caveat. But again, if you're just shopping straight R value and the application is appropriate, it's about double the price. Fiberglass, 5.3 cents per R value per square foot, again, for the one that I happen to look up. Excuse me. styrofoam, which would be called extruded polystyrene, the blue, pink, green, a lot of different colors. That's 15.8 cents per R value. Now this one is, I can't tell you if this is a fluke, an outlier. I think it's somebody trying to make a lot of money, and I won't name the box store who's selling it. But expanded polystyrene, which is beadboard foam. The white beadboard looks like a styrofoam cup. They sell that with foil on both faces. This is a lower grade insulation in my book than the polyiso or the extruded polystyrene, the blue, pink styrofoam, that stuff. That's 18.24 cents per R value per square foot. It's the most expensive thing I've got on my list here, and it's the least performing, lowest performing insulation on a number of levels. Structurally, insulation wise, R value per inch, it's not as high, which is maybe why the price is higher. I don't know, but it is what it is. And that was just one sample. There, maybe that was a fluke. Maybe it was something that they're going to make a lot of money on. I don't know. But again, the other one that I came across that I've always kind of been dismissive of, because you don't see it a lot, is denim. You can buy denim fluffy insulation. And it's kind of a fun material to work with because it's soft and fluffy, and it's certainly not itchy. Denim came in at 6.6 cents per R value per square foot. But I checked the two box stores online, Lowe's and Home Depot. Both listed it, listed the price, listed the specs, and said it's unavailable. So it's, I don't know if it's unobtainium or if you have to go to a lumberyard, Ware Butler, Hammond, any of those folks, and see if they have it available and what the price is. It may be more. It may be that this is a fluky price. Why put it on your website if it's not available? But that happens a lot. The other one that is kind of close to heart, because we used to do this, is polyiso seconds. This is something I used to sell. This used to be our living. Polyiso seconds, going by vendors that I could find, is around 4.6 cents per R value per square foot. And I base that on the price that if you're shopping for seconds, usually you can get a 1-inch thick 4x8 sheet for $10, which is a pretty good deal, especially compared to lumberyard prices. So it's about, usually it's a half to a third less. In this case, it's a third less. Also, Rockwool. Rockwool's another very common one in that one. There's so many permutations in terms of thickness, width, whatever, bundle size. Rockwool is 9.6 cents. So that's reasonable. It's not as cheap as fiberglass. It's almost twice the price of fiberglass, but it is a denser insulation. And the going back to the timber HP that's made here in Maine, that is in between rock wool and fiberglass in terms of cost per R value. But there's one more. The cheapest insulation, cheapest by a long shot, and it's environmentally friendly. It's somewhat easy to use, I guess. And that's cellulose. And it's cheap because it's recycled material. So basically, the guys who make cellulose, the companies that make cellulose, are taking a waste product. They might even get paid to take it and shred up. And basically, cellulose is a pretty simple material. It's newspaper, that's run through a hammer mill, and it makes it into fluffy insulation. It gets treated with borates, as does the Timber HP, which is also a similar kind of product. They're both cellulose, different forms of cellulose. One is paper, one is wood. Both can degrade, both can burn. So they are treated with borates, and borates do two things. They treat the insulation against critters getting into it, living in it, prevents mold, and also suppresses fire. If it was to be involved in a fire, it will not burn It may smolder, but it will not burn the way wood would, or untreated material would. If you had newspaper, I mean, you know, I use newspaper to start the fire in the wood stove. So it's treated for that purpose. And as you, most of the manufacturers, I believe, are either UL or Factory Mutual are the two listing agencies that certify the performance of the product against flammability and safety for being in a residence. And that goes for all these insulations. They all have to be tested for flammability and rated as such. So going over the list again, and this is not an absolute list, and I didn't sample every type there was, and I was just looking at the box stores because I could get their numbers really quick, except for the Timber HP, which I had gotten from Weir Butler. There's so many variations on the theme that if you're shopping for insulation, you say, okay, I want to get 3.5-inch something to put in that 2x4 wall. What are my options? And I didn't include spray foam in here because I'm not quite positive about the cost of spray foam. I can tell you from experience, it's probably about twice the cost of the polyiso foam. So if we go from the bottom, and we'll go bottom mid-range here. So the bottom, the cheapest cheapest insulation, excuse me, is going to be cellulose fiber at a penny per R value per square foot. Now that's a real deal. And you can afford to put a lot of insulation in if you have the room. So the no-brainer when it comes to insulating your house, if you have a flat attic ceiling, you want to insulate, use cellulose to live in daylights out of that. And you go with 16 inches, 2 feet, whatever you can fit up there, because that's a cheap date. It performs well as long as it's dry. And, you know, everything has to be dry, right, in a house. Going up from there, the next one, the next cheapest, next would be polyiso foam seconds, if you can find them, at 4.6 cents. Then we go to fiberglass, which is 5.3 cents. From there, we go to denim at 6.6 cents. Then we go to Timber HP, the new product made in the state of Maine. And for me, that is some cachet, the fact that it's made in Maine. I'll spend a little bit extra money for the fact it's not itchy, it's made in Maine, and I can support my neighbors at a reasonable price. I mean, I'm not going to throw money at them, but I am going to support them if they're making a good product. And this looks interesting. I need to lay my hands on it at some point, but we'll get some and try it probably. And then we go up from there. The most expensive, again, expanded polystyrene, which absolutely makes no sense. When we were in the foam insulation business, we would buy, you know, we were buying factory seconds and we were reselling them of polyiso. But we would go to the expanded polystyrene manufacturers, new product, and we would buy a truckload of new expanded polystyrene and offer it if we didn't have enough of the other of seconds. And it was a reasonably priced product. So I'm not sure what's going on here. Is it more layers of distribution? I suspect it is because we bought from the manufacturer directly. But maybe it's handling because it is not this material they sell at the lumber that the stores is foil faced, which really makes no difference in terms of insulation value. But I don't know. But anyway, we got to take a break. It's 8:31. We have a good idea what's going on there. We'll be right back.
You know my girl now. Yeah. You know my girl just called me up, and she woke me from my sleep. You should have heard the things she said. You know she heard my feeling steep. I'm gonna buy me a dog. A dog. Why? 'Cause I need a friend now. I'm gonna buy me a dog. My girl, no love, no how. Don't ruin my song. It's the only song I have.
All right, we are back. 8:36. It is hot and cold. It is. You knew this hot and cold Saturday morning, but you didn't know that over here on line one, I have a broadcast legend. That would be Mike Dow. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Tom. How are you today?
I
enjoyed the intro music.
Oh, well, I do too. I could play that all the time. But we have you on for a specific reason. We're not here to talk music. We're here to talk animals because you were working at the Bangor Humane Society part-time. And
that's right.
I thought it would be a good idea to just take a couple minutes and see who's available at the Humane Society for adoption and talk a little bit about what you go through, what you have to do to adopt a loving animal, an animal that needs love and will give you love. And just Valentine's Day, I mean, this is a perfect time to adopt an animal.
Yeah, Valentine's Day will be here soon, and we have a lot of loving animals waiting to be adopted right now at Bangor Humane Society. I have volunteered here in various capacities, Tom, for about 30 years, really, but about a month ago, I started working here part-time, and I thought I knew what happened at an animal shelter, what it took to be able to, you know, make sure that these dogs are so well cared for, and cats and rabbits and guinea pigs, and then find them the perfect forever home. I really had no idea until I started working here. And the staff at this place, absolutely incredible. This team of people, so dedicated to these animals. And it's such an honor, really, to play just a small role one day a week in being part of it. But we do have some great dogs and cats. Who would you like to hear about first, Tom?
Lay a dog on me. Let's start with the dogs.
All right. Let me tell you, would you like to hear about some of our recent arrivals? I know that you know that they are here.
Yes. Yes, please.
And they are Julian, Ricky, and Bubbles. Do those names ring a bell? If you've ever seen the show Trailer Park Boys, you know that those are the names of the primary characters. And on that program, they get into a little bit of trouble. Now, these are puppies, and they're plot hounds. I don't think they're going to get into nearly as much trouble as the guys did on that show. But they are, and I just held them individually about a half an hour ago. They are sweet, loving. They're a little heavier than I thought they would be for puppies. But they are fantastic. And they are recent arrivals, plot hounds. They are 3 months old and full of personality.
And now a plot hound is not necessarily a sedentary dog. This is a dog that if you like to go for walks and hikes, this would be the kind of dog you want to have. It's going to be an active dog, right?
Absolutely. If you have an active lifestyle, this is a perfect dog for you. And yeah, like you said, they need a lot of exercise because they have a lot of energy. And I can vouch for that because I just spent a little bit of time with them. They are very energetic and a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
They are available now.
They are. We open at noon today. And the thing is, as you may know, puppies are very much in demand. And so sure. Ricky, Julian, and Bubbles will probably not be here very long. But if you're interested, we open the doors today at noon, and we would love to talk to you about that.
Okay, so
let me tell you, Tom, a little bit about Darla.
Okay.
And Darla is 7 months, 7 years old, rather, a very talkative hound. This is actually the third time that Darla has been here at Bangor Humane Society. Oh. And we love the fact that, you know, she kind of likes it here, but we don't love the fact that she has spent so much time here because that means she's not in her forever home.
Right.
So we're hoping that the right people will hear about Darla, 7 years, 3 months old, female hound. She weighs under 50 pounds. She should be the only animal in the home, and her ideal home consists of older teens and adults only. But she is a really sweet girl.
I'm looking at her picture
but
right
she does
here.
Need,
She's a doll.
You can see her photo. Isn't she beautiful? But she does need the perfect family to understand, you know.
Sure.
Maybe she has had some experiences in her life up to this point that she's going to need just a little more TLC with.
Yeah, yeah. And,
you know, among us.
That's right. And a hound is a different than say, a little lap dog. This is a dog, again, that has some energy, even at age 7, and would do well with a family that is more active.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We have some wonderful cats here, and I saw little Leo a little while ago, and he popped into my head that it was almost like he was sending me a message. I want you to talk about me today. Leo is just a really sweet 6-year-old female cat, mm-hmm. and domestic short hair with a lot of personality.
Mm.
And so, you know, Leo is just one of many right now. There's also the dynamic duo of Boogie and Woogie. They're both from the same litter, Tom.
Okay.
They're
all right. Who's picking these names? Wait, excuse me. Are they naming is there a designated person at the Humane Society who comes up with the names if they're not already named?
Yeah, there is, actually. and they have a great time doing it.
I bet.
And it's kind of fun. Some of the names are very creative as you walk around this building. And you know, there are people here who specialize in that. And they try to come up with a perfect name to match the personality of the animal.
Yeah.
And they really do a great job.
So are Boogie and Woogie, would it be preferable for them to go together? They're sisters, right?
Yes, absolutely. They are from the same litter, two fabulous females. Now we're told that Woogie has a history of infrequent seizures.
Okay.
But nobody here has ever seen her have one.
Okay.
So we don't know for sure. And they have been here for a little while. Oh. And we want to make sure that we find them the right home. Ideally, it would be awesome if they could go together because, you know, they've been together all their lives.
You can't have Woogie without Boogie, man, I'm telling you. You got to have the Boogie Woogie.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the adoption fees are very reasonable, especially when you consider, Tom, everything that goes into everything that this place puts into an animal once the animal arrives.
Hmm.
It's really staggering. They get a physical exam. They get a behavior evaluation, flea and tick prevention. They get microchipped. They get a Bordetella vaccine, heartworm prevention, rabies vaccine. They have been spayed or neutered before they go home. Dewormer, all of their shots, free adoption counseling, all of that is included in your adoption fee. So it's really an incredible deal when you adopt an animal. And if the monkeys were recording music today, I would hope that they would sing a song called I want to adopt a dog, not I want to buy a dog.
Yeah. And is there the fee is not one price for all. It's a sliding fee, isn't it?
Well, there are fees for puppies, 8 weeks to 6 months, $450, which is still an incredible deal when
it
you
is.
Consider the average value of all those things that I just listed off to you is about $1,300.
Mm.
Puppies 7 to 11 months are $325.
Mm-hmm.
Dogs age 1 to 5 years, the adoption fee is $175.
Wow.
Dogs age 6 to 10 $100, and dogs over 11, it is manager's choice. So when you come at the time of the adoption, it is entirely up to the manager what that adoption fee will be.
Mm. Boy, that's a great deal. And so
it really is.
And so you're open today's noon to what time?
Noon until 6 today. We're closed on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and we're also closed on Monday, just temporary winter hours.
Sure.
Open today from noon until 6, and then after today we reopen on Tuesday from 1 to 6. And just to let everybody know, does that mean that nobody's there with the animals for 2 days? No, absolutely not. There are people here all the time,
yeah.
Sundays, holidays, days off, working with the animals, making sure that they're well cared for, fed, taken out. So there are always people around.
There's an impressive number of people working there and volunteering there that keep these animals well socialized and trying to get them ready for a forever home, so they're not just, you know, freaking out if they leave here. They're ready for you, and they have been, as you said earlier, they've been kind of categorized as to what their disposition is, their personality, because dogs and cats have different personalities just like people. And
That's right.
And we want to get a good fit for you, not to get a, you know, if you're sedentary and 78 years old, we don't necessarily want you to have a plot hound unless you like jogging.
That's a really good point, Tom. You know, if you are in the older category, and I consider myself right in there with you, We do have animals that completely match your lifestyle. And we would love to talk to you and find you the perfect companion, someone that is going to enrich your life in ways you can't imagine.
Yeah. And so you folks are there for guidance if there's any questions along the way, because you have had experience, the folks there have had experience with all these animals. So if you got, Boogie and Woogie and something, you have a question, that's what you're there for, is to offer support and make sure that
this is a good fit. Oh, absolutely,
yeah.
Right, because everyone here knows these animals inside and out and can answer pretty much any question. So that is you know, part of the pact that we make with our adopters, is that if you have any questions at all, by all means, call, because these people here at Bangor Humane Society have spent a lot of time with these animals. We know them well. And we would love to be able to help make that adjustment, because whenever someone brings a new animal into their home, there's always a period of adjustment, both for you and the animal.
Yeah.
It's just going to take a little bit of time for them to get used to your schedule, for you to get used to having a new being in your home, and before long, hopefully, it will just become, you know, the perfect living situation for both of you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're going to do this on a regular basis, Mike, get you on here and just chat about who's come in the past week and kind of keep up on these things. So we'll look forward to seeing you, talking to you next week.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I love the fact that you came up with this idea, and I can't wait to do more with you on Hot and Cold. In the meantime, BangorHumane.org, BangorHumane.org, if you want to find out more about these animals, 942-8902, open today, noon until 6. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Mike. And it's a good day to get some boogie woogie. That's what it is. Thanks,
absolutely.
Mike.
Absolutely.
See you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
That was good. So Mike Dow is over there. You can go in and meet any of these animals. And you could probably catch Mike over there, too. If you always wanted to meet him, that'd be your opportunity. And, you know, years ago, I used to co-host the they had a TV show, Bangor Humane Society, and it was just so much fun, and I got to go in every week and see all the different animals and the dedication these people have to trying to get these animals situated, not in a shelter, but somewhere where they can live a long, useful life with their owners. So that's a fun one. Anyway, BangorHumane.org, and they're all there. You can see the boogie woogie. You don't have to just hear the boogie woogie. I love, you know, during the week, Maria, my daughter, and I, we're checking all the humane societies, of which there's Paws down in Camden, there's Knox County down in Thomaston, to see who's got what, you know, who's come in, and there's other smaller places as well, and it's always kind of fun to see the names that folks pick up. And anyway, our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478 before we break for the news. I've been getting ready to clean the I've been in the shop working, and I've got cars coming and going all the time. And, of course, parts fly off of cars when they come in the shop. Something gets set inside. I've got something in the car that got returned from one of my mechanics. It opened the door, goes inside, and I walk away, and it gets cluttered enough that it becomes embarrassing. And I start cleaning if I have a few moments, if I'm not running around throwing parts around. So I started cleaning the other day, yesterday, as a matter of fact. And it, you know, kind of struck me, the things I put in the shop aren't necessarily garbage, but they're not necessarily useful at that moment. And it, how long a time do I keep stuff like that? Now, if you have the room and you can deal with it, it's great. But, you know, if there was a piece of plastic that goes underneath the truck where the plow hooks up, and that's off the truck. And the truck actually was that I have a plow on was a salvage truck. It was a rebuilt title. So I repaired it. And that piece was off when I did the repair. I didn't put it back on because I knew it would be in the way of the plow. And sitting in the shop, and it's a big thing. I mean, it's the front of a truck, full-size truck. It's a big honking piece of plastic. Got a couple minor tears, but I'm looking at it. And if I'm looking at it, I it went in the dumpster. I'm embarrassed to say that, but it went in the dumpster. And because if I needed to buy that stupid piece of plastic, it's a couple $100. But I'm probably never going to put it one on there because I've got the plow there. And any piece of so I was in the zone yesterday. So stuff went in the dumpster. Stuff went in the recycling bin. Metal parts are actually, I find this hard to believe, heavy metal parts that I had spares of for the truck, are cheaper than the plastic parts, which makes no sense to me. Because I think it should be the other way around, but you know, what do I know? So, but I dispatched a whole bunch of that stuff yesterday just to try to sort things out. And I guess I made some progress. There was a spot on the floor that was clear for at least a little while. I'm not sure how long that's going to last, but we'll see. Before I forget, because we got talk of the mic, I want to mention our friends at General Appliance over on Center Street in Brewer. They're open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, give them a call at 989-4341. They have, of course, parts in stock. They have appliances in stock, new appliances as well as reconditioned appliances. Again, 989-4341 there on Center Street. In 6 minutes, 15 seconds, my buddy Massimo's opening up, and he's got the pizza, and he's got the paninis. And, he's got more wine over there than I think anybody in Waldo County. And people do their wine shopping over at Massimo's for good reason. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break here, top of the hour. I'm going to sneeze, so I'm going to turn the mic down. That's better. And how was that for a good radio, huh? And when we come back, Pete will be with us hour number two. And we can discuss if you have any questions about the whole insulation thing. The codes have changed a lot. And what I thought was a lot of insulation back a few years ago, now the code is mandating it. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing. This whole thing started for me. I thought I had insulated this house I'm in very well. I've got 3.5 inches of spray foam in the walls, 1.5 inches over the outside. I got 5 inches of foam. And I'm thinking, you know, it's not quite as comfortable as the other house we were in. And it's different because this is sort of a ranch house. The other house was a Cape. So when you do a Cape Cod style house, you have a little more efficiency in terms of the envelope size. But the other part of it was I had walls that were, so I just kept adding insulation to the walls. So they were anywhere from about 9 inches to 13 inches thick. And it made a difference. This upstairs, the bedrooms, a whole upstairs of the house, we never used the heat. We never turned on the heat because it was, the heat would migrate upstairs, would rise from the first floor to the second floor. First floor was always comfortable. Second floor was absolutely delightful. Anyway, on that happy note, we'll take the break. We come back. We got Pete. That's a good thing. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Stay with us.
Hey, Matilda. Matilda, Matilda, she take me money and run Venezuela once again now. Matilda, 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 she take me money and run Venezuela. $500 friends are lost. Woman even sell me cat and horse. Hey, Matilda, she take me money and run Venezuela. Everybody.
It is hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning again. I'm Tom. Phone number is 1-800-966-1039. The text line 601-207-4478. I had somebody get in touch with us yesterday who I believe had a Prius. And, yeah, it was a Prius because that's why they contacted us. And they took it to their mechanic. They had a check engine light on. And the mechanic scanned the car, had a scan tool, scanned the car, and needed a crankshaft sensor, or maybe a camshaft. It was a sensor. It was either camshaft or crankshaft. It began with a C. Both are easy to replace. Now, these are just sensors that deal with setting the timing for the gas engine. Most cars have these sensors. This is nothing to do with hybrid, nothing to do with electric. No high voltage. It's a little sensor. It picks up magnetic pulse off the engine, helps set the timing. And the guy wouldn't do it. He wouldn't. You know, and they're easy to get to. This is not hard. I mean, you know, there are cars that are difficult to work on. This is not a hard thing. He says, no, call Tom. Well, first of all, I don't do service, but I could do that one. That's so easy. I've done them. You know, it's insane. And unfortunately, some folks just don't get it. It's 2024. Forget about electric cars. Forget about hybrid cars. Forget all that stuff. There's electronics in cars. It's a fact of life. And the fact it's a hybrid had nothing to do with it. If you're a mechanic, you know what a sensor is. You know what a camshaft or crankshaft sensor is. This is not rocket science. And it's easy to get to on both those cars. They're not buried. They're not hard to reach. And it's a good living. I mean, that's what you do. And the person just kind of said, no, I'm not going to do it. And, you know, that's his prerogative. I mean, maybe the customer was annoying. Could happen. And at any rate, what I'm getting at here is, and I tell anybody who comes in to buy a car, if I have a moment to speak my mind to them, you know, find yourself a good local mechanic. And they are out there. They're all over the place. There's a lot of smart people. If they can use a scan tool, they can usually diagnose the issue. And if they have access to the internet, if they never heard of a crankshaft sensor before, you can Google it and it's right there. I mean, that's a luxury. And the customer could even do it himself. It's that simple. So it's either that or you take it to the dealer. And I was with the tow guy this week. he told me that some of the bigger dealers now are getting $200 an hour for service. And I'm not sure how that works out, but that scares the heck out of me. $200 an hour. They got to be really good, and they got. I'll pay by the minute. Thank you. If am I paying by the minute, or am I paying by book rate, or how's that working out? I mean, man, you can blow a budget really fast doing that. Now, having said all that, you know, we had snow last Monday, and actually, we had clouds. We were supposed to have clouds last Monday. And we, at my place, got about 4 to 6 inches of clouds on the ground that we had to plow. So usually if we know a storm is coming, we can consolidate all the cars in one place. We can plow most of the yard, put the cars back, and, you know, we're ready to be open. Well, we didn't have that luxury because we were not alerted to – we were always watching the weather this time of year. So anyway, we moved all the cars. We do the plowing. I'm plowing. It wasn't a lot of snow, and it was easy to plow, so it's not a big deal. And I've got 85% of the plowing done. And I stopped the truck. I went inside for something to come back out. Click. Won't start. So I checked the voltage on the battery. It was 12 point something. So, maybe a little low. I put it on the charger. It charged. It topped it off right away. Now, within a half hour, tried it again, click. So as it turned out, one of my mechanics happened to stop down on Monday. I said, you know, I got it. I think we need a starter. He went and looked at it, said, yeah, I think we need a starter. So I had it towed. I checked with another mechanic who was local, and, yeah, 2 weeks. So the good news was my local mechanic – I got a tow to a Monday morning, and I had it back Monday afternoon. The starter, I think, was $135, $65 for labor. The good news was that it was an easy replacement. Some Ford trucks have one bolt you can't get to, which is just good design. The VA trucks, I guess, tend to have a kind of a hidden fastener. It's there, but you can't see it, and you got to get it monkey around to get that last bolt out. I'm plowing with a six cylinder. I don't do a lot of plowing. I don't do any heavy hauling, so a six is fine for me. Basic six cylinder, no turbocharge. Just let's keep life simple. Let's keep it inexpensive, and it worked well. So $200, I'm back on the road. And had the truck back same day. In the process, though, I really screwed up. It was cold Monday. Well, yeah, it was cold Monday. That's right. Tuesday we picked up the truck. Monday it failed. Tuesday morning, so we took the plow off. Pete said, you know, you have to take off the plow to get it on the tow truck. So he says it's gonna be 5 degrees Tuesday morning. so we popped the plow off Monday while it was warm. And sure shooting, it's 5 degrees. And I said, oh, you know, I've got a car to pick up at my mechanic's, a Prius. So can I ride up with you? You know, you're taking the truck and I'll pick up the car and bring it back. He said, sure. So we ride up. We had a nice talk. And halfway there, there's no point of no return. I remember the car we were picking up had a defective blower for the heat. So there's no heat. So we get up there, and the car, of course, is iced over because it's outdoors. So we brought it in. My mechanic was nice enough to bring it inside, got everything, rolled the windows down so the inside ice melted as well as the outside ice, and 15-minute ride back to my shop. And I want to tell you, now that 15-minute ride, it's all kind of relative. And I drive every winter. I've got some car that's got some kind of heater problem where usually a blower has failed. And it was a long 50 minutes. In the process, my house is about a mile, 1.3 miles before I get to my shop. And I was seriously debating whether I should stop at my house and warm up. I mean, I was cold. It was, it's just that now the heat was there. It just wasn't circulating, because the blower was out of the car. But it was it's all fixed now. I want to tell you, you really get motivated to fix heat in cars when it's 5 degrees out and the heat ain't working. So that was a good time. And that was the biggest catastrophe of the week. I mean, some weeks can be really hairy, but we've been chasing down a lot of weird oxygen sensors. Check engine lights seem to be something that we deal with a lot with Toyotas. They seem to be a little more sensitive to an oxygen sensor getting a little out of tolerance. Not necessarily a functional thing that makes the car not work right, but check engine light comes on, and obviously we don't want to sell the car that way. So anyway, we're going to take a break. Our phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478, and we'll be back in just a little bit. Stay with us.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hey, look yonder, coming down a railroad track. Hey, look yonder, coming down a railroad track. Yes, it's that orange blossom special, bringing my baby back.
It's 9:21. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. Good morning. I'm Tom. Our phone number, 1-800-966-1039. The text line is 601 207-447-8. Let's see. I mentioned that I was trying to figure out the cold spots on the floor. So I had my thermal imaging camera sitting at my desk at work, and I finally remembered to bring it home. And I ran around the house checking things out. We got a phone call, so let's do that, and then we'll go back to the thermal imaging story. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Yeah. excuse me. I had a question.
Sure.
I have a 1995 F-150, and I'm hearing a, I don't know, it's not really a squeal, but it's something coming from one of the pulleys or the belt, and I have, of course I have a serpentine belt, but I have had my mechanic, and he's good, check everything. We replaced the belt and we replaced the tensioner, but I still hear it. But the thing that's throwing me is that it seems to only make the noise when the belt makes one revolution. And we've checked all the other pulleys. He's got a stethoscope, and we couldn't really nail it down. And I just was wondering if you might have any thoughts.
My first reaction when I'm dealing with something like that is, and maybe it's founded, maybe not. There's a couple other things I think that are on that same serpentine belt, of course, would be the alternator and the water pump. And I would wonder if you've got a bearing that's on its way out. It's kind of interesting. Sometimes if the belt is off, you can, not me, but mechanics that I work with can feel that little bit of a spot, that spot where it's making the noise, you know, because it doesn't feel uniformly smooth as you do a rotation. That would be obviously my next guess. It's not good practice to just start changing everything out. Certainly changing a belt and a tensioner is an easy one, and most suspicious and probably due for replacement anyway. But, there's only a certain number of things on there. And, unfortunately you might have to, it might be a trial by error, but I think the belt's got to come off and you got to just double check to see if there's any of that, sense of, dragging there that, would be, sensible.
Yeah. Well, we did all that. maybe we'll do it again.
Yeah.
So I just didn't know if there might be, something.
I don't normally deal with trucks. As a matter of fact, I avoid them, because they're bigger than what I have a really small lift. So I did that on purpose because I didn't want to work on trucks. So,
yeah.
That's kind of a common thing. And it's not necessarily a good diagnosis to just start swapping out parts, but that might be where you're winding up if, the next susceptible one is. One suggestion I would make in terms of if you're going to swap parts out is just to see, is to shop the part before you do it. And by that, I mean not necessarily just going to the local parts store, although they're local, you certainly want to get a price, and you can usually check them online. But then checking a place like Rock Auto to compare, because, especially when you're getting into that vintage of a vehicle, sometimes the parts are pretty affordable. So I hope that helps out. They do tend to have some deals. I guess I'm on their mailing list now, and every so often they have clearance. And there's three cars that they always send me things about having clearance on for parts. A 2010 Prius, a 2005 Honda Element, and I think a 2008 Corolla. I bought parts for all those cars on Rock Auto, and they sent it to me last week, I guess. And so I go through the list. I'm just looking at the Prius. We're not doing any 05 Elements anymore. They're too old. And we don't even do Corollas of that vintage. We're trying to stay with newer stuff, just because of potential for rust. But Priuses, yeah, we'll do that. So I'm looking at all the Prius parts. They had name brand close out windshield wiper blades for $1.43 each. And I went, ooh, I got to grab these. And I just kept, you know, I kept clicking. And the box came this week. And I opened the box, and I had lost track of how many wiper blades. Now, I use a lot of wiper blades. And if I'll order them at a local auto parts store, and that's fine if I need them. But I got a lot of them, which is good because they're a name brand. And I don't know if somebody ordered too many or what exactly happened, but it was good. And I got some other stuff too. I was able to, hang on here. Pete's trying to get in, so I had to message him. I was able to get a whole bunch of other stuff, some oil filters and things. I think I have most of the other parts on the shelf, and I'm trying to – that's one of the things in my shop I'm trying to keep organized is Prius parts of the current generation we're working on just because I lose track of what I have because things like wheel bearings and stuff like that, you kind of have to keep – on hand. I have the luxury of not having to order them right away. Or I can order them and wait if I have to, but it's nicer if they're right there. And I guess if we hit the thing, if I turn the right one up, there we go. You get the Creed, you know, 928, if you get the Credence going, we go over to line one. Say good morning to Pete. Good morning, Pete.
You got me calling in on this line like some sort of district representative.
I know. It's like you're like a mere plebeian, you know, a Philistine.
I might as well put my pajama pants on and go to Dollar General for some Monster Energy drink.
Or Red Bull.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's going on?
Oh, not much. How about you?
Nothing.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Just staring at cars.
Yeah. Yeah, I told the story of the starter failing on the plow truck. That was exciting.
It's always when we're plowing. It's never like June and we're going to pick up a piece of wood at Viking. It's the middle of a snowstorm and we're plowing, and that's when starters fail.
Well, the last truck we had a starter fail in springtime, I think. Right before we sold it, I think the starter went.
That's right. You know what I'm thinking of? I'm thinking of that truck. It was the alternator during a snowstorm.
Yes. Yeah, that was
because the battery. Because I was up at your house plowing, and the battery light came on, so yep. I coasted down the hill.
Yeah. Yeah, my house didn't get plowed till Wednesday, I guess. Wednesday, something like that. But I said, I'm just going to bring home four-wheel drive thing, and I'm going to flatten out all that snow, just like the good old days.
Yeah.
So we got some cars out there that weren't there last week.
Yeah, we had a couple go out last week, so yeah. I replaced them with new cars, new to you cars. The one of note I would mention is I put out a 2012 Prius with 120K on it.
Mm.
Now, for those of you keeping score, that is low mileage for a Prius, and so I don't expect that one to last long at all.
Yeah. And
what else have we got that's interesting? We still got that Kia electric car, the Kia Electric Soul.
Yeah.
It's got a replacement battery. It's still under factory warranty. It's a weird thing that that's even still here.
Well, it's wintertime. I don't think people think electric cars in the winter.
Well, let me tell you what, as someone who moves these cars around a lot in the winter, that one, anytime we've got an electric car, it heats up faster than anything else.
Yeah, I like that. And they have heated steering wheels.
They got all sorts of juice pumping through them, so they're like, "Well, let's heat the steering wheel, the mirrors, the seats, the cup holders."
Well, I think the premise behind that for both the cars that we have two electrics and we haven't put the Nissan Leaf out, although it's ready to go. In the marginal weather, you probably get away with the heated seat and the heated steering wheel, and not run the regular heat.
You know, that's a good point.
It's probably more efficient. I mean, you try to milk the range best you can. The heat doesn't use a lot of energy by comparison, but it does make it. You do see a little bit of a difference, And but I think both those cars are going to go to somebody who lives on an island, which is just a perfect application. You just plug it in at night. Next day, you're ready to roll.
The Leaf, I think, would be an excellent island car. I think the Kia Soul, it's got a 100-mile range this time of year. I think that would work for anybody in the greater Belfast, Bucksport region, or Bangor Brewer. You're not going to burn through 100 miles in a day.
Well,
you know what I mean.
I think that's a car that you drive around town. That was a lot of range when that car came out in 2015. Now it's not. The number keeps going up. But, you know, and the reason we bought it was because it had a new battery. So it's got a lot of life in it, which is kind of interesting. And it was relatively inexpensive. So
I think it's still got like 25,000 miles worth of factory warranty on that, too.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
So you're protected.
Yeah. We'll stick with hybrids for the most part, but if we see something like that makes sense, we'll grab it. So speaking of grabbing it, we got to take a break, Pete. That was cool.
All right. Huh? That was easy. Let's just sit silent.
I'm just trying to remember here what the break is. Do we need to take it?
Do you want me to just run? I can just like imitate the commercials.
I completely lost track of where we are.
But I don't want to like make anybody angry. So
okay, let's do this. Let's take a break. Okay,
let's do that.
That's okay. There's no dementia is the music is supposed to fight off dementia. So how's that working out? Stay with us. We'll be right back. It is 9:38, and if I turn that down, turn this up, we get to talk to Pete again. Good morning again, Pete.
Good morning.
So I don't know if you noticed it. The other day, I got a microphone.
I did notice that, yeah.
And we're going to start doing some more YouTube stuff. We haven't done any YouTube stuff in a couple of years now. What do you think
you did a YouTube video right before you started renovating the house. You're like, well, this is our new project, and then didn't shoot any more videos. We didn't have time.
Yeah, no, we didn't, really. What's your idea for what we should do? What do you think we should do first?
I don't know. What was always popular is just fix something with a budget of like nothing.
We could do that.
It was always like some project that, like, you know, I found rot in my wall. What do I do? And then cut out the wall and.
Well,
people find rot in their wall and they're at the mercy of paying somebody else to do it.
We did that too.
Might as well do it yourself wrong, you know?
Yeah, we did it 2 years ago under duress, having to do it really fast where we had to move. That was an exciting time because.
We'll have to find a subject house to work on, but. Maria's basement would be a good one.
It's Kurt's house.
I don't want to work. I don't want to work in Maria's basement, though.
No. Kurt's basement.
It sounds like, here's the thing. I'm not saying I'm shy about the work. It's just, I guess the headroom there is like 5 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
For those that don't know, I'm a little bit taller than 5 feet.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting when you get in an old house like that, how low everything was, because people just generally were shorter back then.
Well, and it was all cigarettes and black coffee. You know?
Well, that's something to be said.
Stunted them.
And chaw. And some chewing tobacco, too.
Yeah.
So I finished the Edison book, by the way, speaking of chewing tobacco.
How did it end?
He died. Actually, it went backwards, so he was born was the beginning. It started. I finally figured out. I thought they were jumping around, but they were in chronological order, like Benjamin Button going backwards from when he passed his last stuff to the first stuff he was doing as a kid. And at one point, they were referred to the fact that I think it was in Menlo Park, the ceiling had spit marks of chewing tobacco on it. Those were different times. Those were not the good old days when they were spitting chewing tobacco on the ceiling. That's pretty disgusting.
When I was in high school, in one of the, it was in the history wing, in the back right-hand corner where the troubled kids usually sat.
Where did you sit,
Pete?
Up,
I usually sat back there, but I was not responsible for this. This was probably some early 90s stuff. There was a wad on the ceiling of spit wads, like dried, you know, paper, almost like a like a wasp's nest. It was at least the size. It was larger than a golf ball. This little wad of spit wads that some kid at some point in the previous decades had shot up onto that ceiling tile. And I'll guarantee you, if there's a teacher in that wing listening to this show, they know exactly what I'm talking about. It was around that. This was the mid '90s, and I would just sit there and just stare at it blankly. I think that is disgusting.
When spitballing really meant something.
Well, it wasn't a thing that really went on when I was there, so I figured it must have been early '90s that it happened.
That was
80s,
that was something that happened when I was in school back in the '60s. It was disgusting.
Oh, so you had so
I never shot a spitball in my life. I'll quickly add that. I'm trying to think of what horrible thing I did in high school. It wasn't much because we had corporal punishment. They had a big wooden paddle in the principal's office. But it was a Catholic high school taught by their brothers of the Sacred Heart, and they were not shy about having a contact with you in a way that you would remember. That didn't
stop anybody
me.
Let me ask you this: did anybody ever hit him back?
There was one person I think that hit a teacher.
There's always one. Yeah.
There was one teacher who was a little different, and I don't know what the episode was, but I know a person took a swing at him or something, and I don't think that person was in school anymore. But it was there were the brothers, and then there was one guy, and we all remember this guy like it was yesterday. He is emblazoned in our memories. His name was Mike Murphy. He was an ex-Marine. He had a flat-top crew cut, and he was he didn't suffer fools gladly, that's for sure. And
a buddy of mine who's in the Army told me that when they got to basic training, you know, you're getting off the bus, and the drill sergeants, so they're shouting at you, and they were like, "You want to take a swing at me? You want to take?" You know, they were going all over the big guys. And this one big guy was like, "Okay." So they went off behind a building, and then the big guy came back, and he took a swing at him, and he laid him out. obviously he invited him to, so he didn't get in trouble for it, but he got a lot of special attention for the rest of basic training.
Oh, I bet that's a taunt you do not need to take.
The answer to that question is always no, gentlemen.
No, sir. Sir, thank you, sir.
So earlier this show, Mike called in with dogs.
Yeah, we were talking. Mike is working at Bangor Humane on the weekends.
Yeah.
So I thought it would be good to find out who's available. And they have two cats named Boogie and Woogie. And they're sisters.
And Woogie, they're a set. You got to get them both.
You don't have to get both, but it would be awful nice. I mean,
you really should.
You
got
to have Boogie and Woogie.
Boogie and Woogie.
No,
yeah.
I mean, that's just... And they came in together. They're sisters, and they are beautiful cats. So,
what does it cost to adopt Boogie and Woogie?
You know, I didn't ask. We were talking, I think, more about dogs, and there's a sliding scale for dogs as they get older. You know, puppies are the most expensive, but it's.